Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, my friendly followers. It's Rebecca. Welcome back to Wednesday. Welcome back to Spirituality What? We are here this week for part two of the Psychedelic Cannabis and Spiritual Beings episode with Daniel McQueen from the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness and the author of the Psychedelic Cannabis Therapeutic Methods and Unique Blends to Treat Trauma and Transform Consciousness. And I'm thrilled to say, and I mentioned this at the end of the last podcast, but I'm going to mention it at the beginning this time, that if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more about psychedelics, please follow on Spotify or iTunes or subscribe on YouTube. We have a goal. So I reached out to Rick Strassman and he said if we could get 20,000 followers, he would be an interview on this podcast. So let's do it, guys. We could do it. For today, for part two of this episode, I'm going to get into it with Daniel about the relationship between healing and spirituality, the role of trauma and all of that, what spiritual bypassing is. That was something new for me. I hadn't heard that about that before. We're going to talk about set and setting again, but we're going to add another dynamic, which Daniel's really passionate about it. So we're going to talk about set, setting, and skill. And then the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness and some of the healing aspects of cannabis. So thank you so much for joining us today, and let's hear what Daniel has to say.
So I do have kind of a question that's not as cannabis specific, sure. But what you do here at your clinic is a lot of healing. And we actually talked about healing in a couple other episodes. It's not out yet, but there's an episode on tattoos and spirituality, and she talks a lot about healing specifically related to tattoos. Do you find a difference between healing and spirituality, or like what is it between healing and spiritual experiences?
I see them. Okay, so how I engage that question, I maybe reframe it just a little bit, but I see it as a continuation on like a spectrum on the same line.
Okay.
And to me, awakening would be like a primary drive for humans, you know, like knowing thyself, waking up to reality as it is, you know, like I think that's really important work, you know. And healing is like letting go of something that interferes with your ability to wake up. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You know, like trauma separates us from the world and other people. So to me, and what we see in the medicine sessions is that it's the same skill sets, right? So letting go of something and turning towards and cultivating something are actually the same skill set.
Totally.
So I see it as a spectrum. And like past is associated with healing because we're healing something that occurred in our past. We're resolving something that didn't get complete, right? Right. We're finding some sort of resolution of something in the past. And then in the present, it's clearing it out of the body, right? Creating space in the body, relaxing tension, holding in the body, and then also like reframing things, right? And then the future is more cultivating a life that we wish to live, right? Stepping into something, stepping into an identity, stepping into a calling or an understanding of like knowing thyself, right? It's a future oriented thing. So from when we work, what happens is it's like the movement of a snake, right, left and right to go forward. You have to heal a little bit and step into future possibilities and cultivating our identity. Heal a little bit more, and then go back into the cultivation.
It's not a straight line.
It's a wave.
Yeah.
I mean, it's super simple, and this is like embedded in reality, like waves, functions, and spirals, and all of these things, right? Holons and gestalts, and you know, levels of being, and you know, interconnectedness of microsystems and macros. Yeah. You know, it's all interconnected, right? And so there's this underlying pattern of healing and cultivating, healing and cultivating. And at some point, you want to be future-focused or present-focused. You've done enough healing that it's not your primary
right.
concern. But when you step into your identity or your calling, you bump up against edges and constraints you didn't even know were there because of something that happened in the past. So when it arises, you turn towards the healing, figure out what that is, find resolution, the medicines are out there to help, and then you turn back towards cultivation.
Yeah.
And again, my a definition of spirituality would include like a spiritual vision that's congruent with general norms, yeah. And then of compassion and service,
yeah.
you know, creating something in the world, you know, not just sitting on the cushion, but right. doing something with it.
Exactly. I really like the visual that I get in my head when you talk about that sort of paradigm or that range, that scale. Because I was thinking about it in the car. Personally, I was like, what is the difference between healing? And when you talk about trauma as being something that separates us from the whole, from the connection. So my definition of spirituality is just genuine connection, like with whatever it is, with some physical object, with a physical person, with something that you can't see in the ether. And that really aligns with
it's like the relationship between things.
Exactly. And that really aligns with that as well when you consider that trauma gives this sort of victim mindset and really makes you feel like it's just me and lonely and all the things. Like
just that. Separate.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just separate. It's like trauma is like living in the world with like those horse blinders on.
Oh my gosh.
You know, yes. Like it reduces yep. your field of vision of what's possible. And, you know, and you might think something's totally normal and have no mm-hmm. idea that there's another possibility.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and it can be devastating. You know, trauma is devastating. But what if there is a way to not just accept the trauma, but transmute it, transform mm-hmm. it. And that's what in the, you know, there's people who talk about what's called post-traumatic growth.
Okay.
You know, we can't choose to not have trauma, right?
Right.
Like we all come from someplace. And so people who have it, like there's no escaping it, right? But through these processes, what happens, especially when there's acceptance and, you know, like turning towards these, particularly with medicines and getting to the root causes, yeah. is you start to see the conditions, the preconditions that created it, mm-hmm. and even start to have compassion for the people that were involved right. even, right? And then understanding that we're all in this fucked up web of interconnectivity and, you know, and pain, right? And that doesn't excuse the trauma or justify what people did, even if you have an incredible understanding a relationship
sure.
with it. But when you accept that that happened and that your only choice is to learn and grow from it, there are real gifts in those experiences. And some of them appropriately define who we are in ways that make us strive mm-hmm. to be better, right? And so that's called the post-traumatic
okay.
growth. You know, and so like in my own path, you know, I understand trauma mm-hmm. personally, but I'm in a space where I can hold that process for others without it causing more harm to me. You know, so it's a resiliency thing that I have. And so no matter what the story is that somebody's bringing to the session, it's not going to make me check out or dissociate because I've addressed my own process with it. And that allows me to be present and witness someone who's sharing something that might have been the most devastating
sure.
experience of their life.
Yeah.
And that right there, that witnessing is healing, mm-hmm. right? So,
do you think, I mean, I think the answer to this is probably, it seems obvious, and yes, like in order to grow spiritually, you have to heal.
Yeah, I don't know if there's, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's just literally,
when you heal, you grow.
When you heal, you grow. When you grow, you heal.
Yeah.
And it requires looking at things that you don't want to look at. That's just part of it. You know, like waking up to self doesn't mean waking up to all your positive aspects. It means,
are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. Yeah, like a promise. I'm so sorry to tell you the bad news. Waking up means waking up to all your aspects, everything that's happened, right? And accepting and learning from it and having agency in life, right? So to me, it's the same thing. And And then what happens when people try to wake up without healing? That's called spiritual bypassing.
Okay.
Right? At some point, it's going to rebound. They have to be able, you know.
What does that look like, waking up without healing?
It looks like ungroundedness. Like, I'm always one with the light. There's nothing wrong with me.
Okay.
All is well in the universe while your life is, like, literally falling apart around you. It's like, literally, you know, like, people get a little delusional in the positive. Okay. And they can't see the negative impacts of it.
It's a bit unrealistic.
It's a little, it's ungrounded. You know, it's like getting lost in the light.
Got
you know
it.
Or like I'm just gonna sit here and pray. I don't have to worry about my social activism or making the world a better place. Mm-hmm. Or the environmental degradation we're seeing, you know, and you know, children are suffering. I'm just gonna ignore all of that.
Gotcha.
And just be enlightened in my own space.
Gotcha.
You know, there's only, that's not a lot of growth there.
Yeah.
You know, like you grow when you're challenged. And
absolutely.
Oh, let me see what my spirituality looks like on Fifth Avenue or whatever.
Yeah,
right. Can I face the world's suffering without dissociating myself?
Yeah.
That's a skill set.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess then the use of cannabis, psychedelic or otherwise, could be used for growing. Does cannabis have non-psychedelic, like non-blended, does it still have healing capacity? It does, right?
Because we
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So one of the traits of cannabis is that it's kind of a shapeshifter. And what I tell people is there's no such thing as cannabis in the singular.
Okay.
It's more like cannabis strains.
Okay.
And, you know, so it's one medicine with many identities. And it's, and think about what cannabis is used for: sleep, right?
Yeah.
Focus.
Okay.
And activity. What else? Relaxation, creativity. Right? Like, that's all in one medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can sleep and wake up using the same medicine.
And get relaxed and be super creative.
Yeah, right? Right? So it's just like, it's combining using the right strain for the right purpose.
Right.
So I'm not going to smoke a ton of sativa right before bed and think I'm going to sleep well.
Sure.
I'm going to be laying there like my mind is going to be running really fast. And that might be really great. It might be a lovely experience, but it's not going to be sleeping.
Right.
So another aspect of cannabis is like all that relaxation quality, like relaxing tension in the body, calming down the nerves, reaching homeostasis. Those are all symptom managements for trauma. And it's a wonderful tool for symptom management. And we
physical,
well, you know, psychological too.
Well.
You know,
okay.
Sometimes psychological. You know, like with skill, right? So
okay.
People who are depressed can use cannabis to pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
People who are anxious can use cannabis to,
okay,
you know, lower their anxiety with the right strains,
okay,
and the right dosage, right? So all of that symptom management, and we think that's lovely. Like, what a wonderful, like, we give thanks for cannabis for helping us in 2024 modern society. And all the stresses of parenting and jobs and all of that, right?
Technology.
Yeah. And so, but what we just say is like, there's just more skillful ways to use it that can address the underlying symptoms to a degree,
mm-hmm,
right? And that's what our program is about. You know? So what we found though is that people who go through our program and start using cannabis in these ways, actually on their own, they start using less.
Interesting.
Because the symptoms are... The underlying causes of the symptoms
and
are reduced. And then they start using it more for recreational or spiritual enjoyment versus symptom management.
Mm-hmm. So what we're saying here then is like, yes, cannabis itself for symptom management, but psychedelic cannabis for root cause.
Right.
Fixing, letting go, growth there. Okay.
Right. It's just, you know, and you can do that with regular cannabis, right?
Okay.
People smoke and listen to music and have going little journeys. It's just with the book, and what we've been able to do is just really dial it in to make the effects as potent as possible, right? So people regularly have glimpses of these experiences on cannabis, and a lot of our students are like that. But it might be like random, or it might have just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And with us, we can like,
yeah,
you know, not 100% guaranteed,
but you got it dialed in.
We got it really dialed in.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, people, you know, like people fly in to do this work with us and stuff, right? So, and then we teach them how to do it so they don't not dependent on us,
mm-hmm,
right? And that was the point of the book too.
Yeah, I like that in the book that you provide, I don't want to say recipes, but kind of.
Total recipe. It's a magic potion recipe. It's
ideas about recipes in there that you can go and buy and kind of try on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, here's how to do it. Here's how to set up the space. Here's the meditation you do to step into it. Yep. Here's the music, you know.
Yeah, you do have the meditations. Mm-hmm. You have some stuff on your website that you can download, which I think is cool. I can't wait to try the body scan. We haven't tried it yet.
That's great.
Yeah, I like a good body scan meditation, so I'm excited to
Thanks. Download that. No, there's some good ones out there, and we really try to make ours good enough. It's a good one. Yeah.
So since we've kind of moved to that topic, I want to talk about, in your book, you talk a little bit about setting and I think it's skill.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did talk about set and setting a little bit in the mushroom psychedelic psilocybin episode. But if you want to talk, you could add a little bit about what that skill aspect is, because you've used that word a couple of times already.
Yeah, yeah. So that's another thing that cannabis taught us is that, let's see, backtrack. I won't redefine set and setting necessarily, but set is mindset, right? What you're bringing into the journey. And what's happening in your life and all of that, right? Setting is the container you're working in and also the intention of the container, right? And that's kind of mixed with set too, is the intention. And you want them to match, absolutely, right? You want them, like if you're going for psychological healing work, or that's your intention, you want to do it in a clinic or in a private space, not a festival, exactly, right? You know, so you want them to match. And what we found, and so underlying assumption there is you just take the medicine in the right container and then something magical happens. Mm-hmm. And what we found is that's not always the case. And that as a guide, what we're doing is we're allowing our ability to journey and we're importing that ability to journey to our clients through suggestions and guidance and support and helping them turn towards things that are difficult. All of these are skill sets. Mindfulness and psychotherapeutic skill sets, and those can be developed over time. And so the ability to stay focused when you're experiencing a disorienting state of consciousness or big emotions, the ability to tolerate big emotions, the ability to have an inner visual experience. Some people are less skillful at literally having being able to see visually in these spaces, and that all of these can be cultivated and developed. And so what? So this is what cannabis taught us, is that, remember that agency, that idea of what if agency is a skill set?
Okay.
And that it could be developed over time. And with this skill set of agency, we can turn towards difficult emotions that might overwhelm us previously. And because we're able to develop a tolerance and a cultivated capacity to turn towards something, we can go further in the journey than we could previously.
Absolutely.
And cannabis, you know, requires turning towards, right? It's because of the agency, whereas mushrooms just kind of blow you through it all.
Yeah.
And the ability to remember what you had is a skill set. The ability to remember the experience and recall the experience is a skill set. The ability to integrate the experience is a skill set. The ability to understand what happened is a skill set. And so when we add this idea of a set, setting, and skill, you know, in is reframing that old school, it's almost dogmatic, set and setting. All you have to do is take a medicine in the right container, and you're going to have an experience. Yeah. Yeah, and that's just not true.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is why people come to visit us. They want and need the support, because if they take 5 grams of mushroom on their own, they know that's going to freak them out.
Yeah.
And so we're just include, we just, I learned this from Naropa. I learned this from being a meditation practitioner, that there are certain skill sets that translate to the psychedelic experience, and that alchemy is another like good orientation of the skill sets that can lead to transformation. So don't be too reliant on the medicine itself. I tell people, so one of my jobs in the clinic is to gift the mushrooms to our clients and then have a little conversation, prepare them for the experience, and I tell people it is dose dependent. The more you take, the deeper you can go. But the other primary variable is the ability to turn towards and meet the medicine. And that it is possible to continually try to turn away and escape it. And with mushrooms, that's really a shitty space to be in.
Yeah.
Is, with cannabis, she's like, oh yeah, no problem, just sit there. Yeah. With mushrooms, it's like, no, we're gonna churn you until you face it. And sometimes people never do. Yeah. And it's a skill set to turn towards. And so we try to help them with that skill set as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And then also the guide is there to be that scaffolding around them so that when they want to run away, hey, I know you want to run away. I know it's uncomfortable. Yeah. You've got this. Mm-hmm. Turn towards what that is. Tell me more about it. Yeah. I'm right here with you. What else is there? Mm-hmm. You know, be curious. It's curiosity, a skill set.
Yeah, totally.
Turning and accepting something, skill set. Relaxing into attention, skill set. These are all things we need as guides and journeyers.
I think it's interesting because integration is the one that everybody knows. Like, you have to integrate after, but there wouldn't be integration circles if integration were easy and it wasn't something like that you needed to develop.
Or sometimes people believe, you know, I don't need integration. I just have to have the experience. That's that. And that's kind of an old school underground way of thinking. Like, integration really wasn't as much of a thing 20 years ago.
Interesting.
People talk about it, but it wasn't in the underground community as it is now.
Okay.
Yeah. They just relied on the medicine, and that can create spiritual bypassing. Sure. You don't have like a mirror, you know, like you're going off on a delusion, and you have no idea you're doing it. Nobody's saying, "Hey, man, you okay? You seem a little off," you know. Yeah. You can just spiral into a delusion.
Absolutely.
So the community is essential.
Yeah, So I want to make sure we have some time to talk a little bit about like the different, you talked about the different medicines you have at the center, but you also have different ways of interacting with the medicine, like the circles and then the big journeys. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we work with ketamine, cannabis, psilocybin mushrooms, and DMT. And generally they're one-on-one sessions with a guide. And with the psilocybin and DMT, we even have an assistant guide in the room, you know, so really personal, rich, deep, meaningful experiences and very private, you know, and sometimes healing requires that privacy, right? And then we have another side of our container, which is more ceremonial, community oriented, which is our conscious cannabis circles. You know, we put everybody on mats, fill the room with people. We have an online container. People visit us from all over the world in their living rooms through Zoom, you know, and do the journeys with us wherever they are. And they're more ceremonial, intentional community gathering environments where people go more, you know, less guiding, right? Because it's a group container. People take the medicine. We do a guided meditation, the body scan, and then play music and send them on their way. Call them back for break and the end when they're ready. And they're lovely experiences. I mean, people are shaking and having, you know, again, DMT level trips, but it's way super contained because it's cannabis somehow. Mm-hmm. And then we have kind of this middle space. Another container would be like smaller groups for clinical healing or specific intentions. Like, we just did a group of women, my wife and Karina, two guides in our program, Allison and Karina, did a group called Myth, Art, and Medicine. And it was eight women coming together to talk about myth, do art therapy experientials, and three cannabis journeys and a psilocybin mushroom journey together. And they just went on an epic adventure, you know, archetypal epic adventure together. And then there's groups for PTSD.
Okay.
And we're working to create ketamine, you know, like general ketamine groups to make it more accessible. Okay. You know, we're always trying to figure out how to make it as accessible as possible and keep our quality of care high.
Yeah,
so that's a big factor. And then the other factor is we have events and sessions related to our training program. People who are guides who want to become guides for others.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making sure they have had profound psychedelic experiences as part of their training.
Oh, very cool.
You know,
that's super cool.
It seems kind of important.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so. A little bit more empathy and relatability.
Yeah, right. Like, you know, how do you be a guide in a terrain you've never been in?
Totally.
You know, and there are some communities and training programs that believe that's okay. Like, you know, it's like the old psychiatry model. It's like a psychiatrist doesn't need to take all the different meds to prescribe them to a client. Like, and who would want to take all those meds?
Right.
It's just not the same with cannabis. You know, like, you really kind of need to know the inner territory.
Yeah, totally.
So that's my opinion, at least.
Well, you are definitely an expert on it. So we'll take
that's what
it
for makes
sure.
me a good guy is having to deal with this in my own head.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation, Daniel. I really appreciate it. We're going to end on one final question, which is, what's one tip about living as a spiritual being in this human existence that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I mean, that's a big question. What comes up for me, you know, in my own path is going with the flow or expecting something to be easy because you're in alignment with spirit. That hasn't been my experience. and being in a spiritual path requires a lot of tenacity and ability to engage obstacles. And like, if you're creating a psychedelic therapy center in the United States right now, you know, like, that's not going to be an easygoing experience. And so I think that might, you know, like, what I found is an easygoing experience usually invites, you know, you're in a fishbowl.
Yeah.
You're just going in circles. And so I've just, if I could say anything in this container, it would be like, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's wrong.
Right.
And just because you're feeling fear doesn't mean you're out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
The big things in the world require perseverance and engagement and that inner warrior. And that's part of it. The other part is play, trust, love, accept all those things too. But, you know, go, if you're going to create, like, you know, do it with strength or something, you know.
Absolutely.
So that would be what I would say in the time we have.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time today. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca. It's been fun talking to you.
And there we have it. Thank you so much, Daniel. Thank you so much, listeners. I really appreciate that you guys all have listened this far in the episode and wanted to just say thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I'm having a really good time producing this podcast. It's bringing me a lot of joy, and I hope that joy is coming through each of the episodes. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining me on today's spirituality adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.